I was going to do something totally different. I was going to kind of stay on the line we were on this weekend, but the Lord had another plan for us, so we're going to be in Acts chapter 3. And I was sitting here thinking about the evolution of this message for me. If you've seen me preach out of Acts chapter 3 before, God bless you. Make a note right beside it. Said he's done it before. He's done it again, and he'll probably be back here again. I wanted y'all to think about this though. Just think if y'all are kind of like, man, he's preached this before. Just think about how many times Melissa's had to listen to me preach some of this stuff. You know what I mean? 15 years of like the same stuff, you know. But I started thinking about the evolution of this message of where I first started. I can remember the first time I ever preached out of Acts chapter 3, where John and Peter go up to the temple, and how much it's changed over the years. Not the word hasn't changed, but my look on the word has changed. My experience has changed, right? And from that experience, also an understanding of the word of God has changed, right? So where I was, I think the first time I ever preached this, I'm giving y'all time to find Acts chapter 3. And if you can't find it by the time I get through this, repentance is for you, right? Altar time or what? Go to the table of contents. Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? But anyway, I always used to say, and this may be a good note, it's still good, it's still relevant. Don't worry about point A and point B so much as you focus on what's in between A and B. You know, James and John were going to the temple, but on the way to the temple, they ran into somebody that needed Jesus. He needed help. He needed healing, right? And if sometimes as Christians, a lot of times we think our ministry is out there, right? We think our ministry is down there or over there or in there. And if we're not careful, we go from point A to point B and we miss all the good ministry in between. I probably told you this before, but one time I went to Brushy Mountain. I got to go to Brushy Mountain State Prison before it closed, right? Chris has been there since after it's closed, right? But I went before it was closed, when it was still active prison. And we went all the way up there, and I didn't have the correct stuff to get in, right? And I was upset. I called my dad, and I was like complaining. God, it took me 4 hours, you know, left from Chatsworth, Georgia, drove up, met them in Knoxville, rode over to Brushy Mountain, got over there, had to sit out in the van while they were in there having a meeting, then I had to rode all the way back. You know, my dad is listening to me. He goes, what happened on the way over there and way back? Is there anything did you see anything that God was doing? Did you get to talk to anybody? Did you invest anybody? Did anybody invest in you as far as ministry was? And then I just started thinking about all the different things that God had done and the connections I'd made and the ministry connections and the people we got to talk to. And I got to talk to a lady in the restaurant, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, God, he goes, you did more ministering that you didn't realize that you did. Kevin, you need, I'm like, if you hear him, I could hear him in his voice right now, I'm sorry. He's like, you need to stop worrying about trying to get to the stage and worry about the people you're going to see between. My dad could minister to more people in the midst of going somewhere. Like, I would be going to get some stuff done, and my dad would be talking to the guy who was checking us in, and I would go and do the thing, come back, he's still talking to the guy. I'm like, hey, Dad, we got to go, because this guy really needs, I need to talk to him, you know. Do you know anything about this guy? I'm like, no, but I know you do, right? But I've learned since then to start kind of making some time for that. I was going to show you my notes. Look, check that out, Sarah. Those are my notes for tonight. Y'all like that? Yeah, well, I was writing like this. But do you see the order? That's why I don't preach from notes. Don't judge me either. I'll show some of y'all. This is pretty cool stuff. Ain't that cool? Look at that terrible handwriting. That's point one. And over here, point two. Yeah, and then look, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. And then point three, the people in the video can't see this. Ain't that crazy? That's how my mind works. Some of y'all wonder, why don't he have notes? Yeah, no, my handwriting's garbage. But I had a lady one time. There's point one. Don't you mess with these because I need them. No, okay. No, I can't. They're terrible. But anyway, I had this girl one time at the end of service. She's like, I preach from notes kind of like that. And she's like, I just want to get your notes where I can copy it and study off of them. And I was like laughing, putting them in the thing. Because you're not going to give them to me. I said, no, you couldn't read them. And she looked at him. She goes, "I can't read them." I was like, "I know." She said, "It's got to be in the spirit to read those notes." Anyway, but that's how my mind works. When we got to this afternoon, I was not going to preach this. This is exactly where we were reading today in my daily reading that we put out on our reading group. And as I was reading it, my hand started writing notes over here, and I'm trying to read it at the same time. That's why these look bad, as they do, because normally they'd be really neat. And complete order. So, but God I talked to several friends of mine in the ministry today. There's a lot of churches that are broken. A lot of people are going through some health issues. We're going to pray before we get started that we're going through. And but I said, "Man, I wonder where you want me to preach this at, the Lord." And God God's got a sense of humor. He really does. He whispers back into my spirit, says, "You got a church." I'm like, "Hey." Because none of you actually know what we were going to do or where we're going to be, so I can preach whatever I want to, or whatever he wants me to. So that's where we're at. Let's pray real quick, and we'll jump in the Word. I know y'all are sitting here going, "Man, he's scatterbrained." Yeah, I am kind of, but y'all be all right. Y'all are used to it by now, right? Been here for like 5 years. If y'all ain't used to it now, we're going to be in trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's Wednesday night, and we come humbly but also boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. We've heard today on several accounts that people that are sick in their body, physically sick, diagnoses, things like that are going on. There's some people that are in fear, maybe confusion. Lord, I pray right now that you would give them peace that passes all understanding, healing, Lord, and a clarity of mind. Lord, I pray for ones that are sick with the COVID. I pray for ones that are struggling in their health. Lord, I just pray for them right now. I pray for churches and ministries that are struggling to find a pastor, struggling to find the leadership they need, struggling in this time of COVID. I pray for those ministries that you'll strengthen them and help them. Lord, I pray for the church that would become real and relevant in 2021. When everything else is failing, let us not fail. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our trespasses as we forgive others. Lord, let us be what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all ready? Let's go real fast then after this. Chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. I love this, and I think here's the note that I wrote for point number one. It's the last thing the Jewish orthodoxy wanted to see coming to the temple was radical Jesus freaks. I want to title this, "Here Come the Jesus Freaks." That's the last thing they ever wanted to see was two. They had thought, "Man, we killed Jesus. It's over, right? We don't have to worry about this Jesus anymore." But the crazy thing about Jesus is the more you try to destroy him, the more you try to get him away, the more you try to hurt him and destroy him and, "Oh, we'll get rid of him this time." It's funny how Jesus says, "The more you try to get rid of me, the more I'm there. The more I show up." Ain't it amazing? You can go back. There's a man named Wim Tyndale, if I'm not mistaken. I know the last name's Tyndale. He's the first one who mass-produced the Bible. It is the same principle. There was a group of people who brought his first bunch of Bibles that he produced, that they bought them and they were going to burn them and destroy them. You know what they did? They paid him five or six times what they were worth. So you know what he did with that money? He made more Bibles. So he made so many more Bibles that he could express them out into the whole world, just sending them out. Guess what? The ones that they destroyed were a fraction of what he could send out. That's Jesus. Because sometimes we think, "Oh man, it's getting so hard, it's getting so bad, it's getting so worse." No, God's like, "This is exactly when I come through the best. When everybody says, we got nothing left but Jesus," right? I think the church has to get to that place where we get to the thing where we're like, "Hey, we ain't got nothing but Jesus left." You know what? Then we'd be a pretty good church. Amen? We ain't got nothing but Jesus. Well, here comes two that shouldn't be coming together, but John and Peter. John is young and Peter is old. Amen? It's almost like if you're in your 40s and you got a teenager. Amen? Or you know a teenager. Or you're around some teenagers. It's fun, right? For a little while. And then you're sitting there going, "Y'all shut up. That's stupid." Yeah, okay, yeah, I got it. That's John and Peter. They're together in ministry, right? But they're radically on, they've been radically changed for Jesus. And for years, and I remember I preached this here for the one of the first times I ever preached this part, is they were going to the temple, and I used to say, you know, even Peter and John would go to the temple after they got with Jesus. They went to temple, and I almost tied into like going to church. But this is totally radically different. They shouldn't have been going to the temple. They were the enemy of the temple. The temple was the enemy of them. Let's just say it that way. They didn't want them there. Don't show up here. We don't want to hear about it. They wanted to go back to the law. They wanted to go back to living under the Jewish Orthodox law. And they were coming up there and saying, it's pretty radical when you stand up and go, you don't need any of that. Guys, can I listen, let me sidebar preach right here. Can I just sidebar preach with y'all real quick? And I'm worried about this in my church, in our church. In all the churches in America, I'm worried about this. I'm afraid that we bring some stuff with us to the church. What I'm saying is I believe we bring some stuff into Jesus that don't belong with Jesus. Some people were raised in religion, in different religions, in false religion. Oh, I'm preaching. Amen? And they try to come to Jesus with all the false stuff, right? And when they come in with Jesus, they kind of want to bring their false religion with them. Oh, y'all bear with me. They want to like, you know, Jesus plus, you know, what I was raised with. Amen? Could you imagine if John and Peter and James and somebody like Paul would have tried to bring their Jewish religion into Jesus' grace? Amen? It would have been ugly, right? It was wrong. So be careful that you're not trying to hang on to something that Jesus said, let go of all of it. God, y'all better hear what I'm saying. Let go of your sin. Let go of that. But let go of all your religion too. Because it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Amen? See, the work that Jesus did at Calvary was the finished work of Christ. Don't try to bring something to Calvary and say it's Jesus plus what I do with that. It's Jesus when it comes to salvation. Amen? God, y'all got to get how radical this is. They were coming up to something that their whole life was geared around. They were coming up to temple that they knew everything to do in the temple. They really didn't know everything to do with Jesus. They didn't know everything they were going to do in this new walk. They just knew that, you know what? What's the most fertile ground that we can work in? Our brothers and sisters up at the temple need Jesus. So we're going to go up there. Amen? And you could just see them coming. They're like, oh man, how are we going to deal with these guys? Because we're going to talk about the law. We're going to talk about sacrifice. And they're going to say that Jesus was a sacrifice. They're going to talk about, we need to do this with the blood. We got the hyssop and we got the altar. And they're going to say, the altar, it's in heaven. And guess what? Christ showed up in heaven and became the sacrifice for all of our sins. He was the holiest of holies. He was the high priest. He passed into there where we can pass into the holiest of holies. And anybody here can become a priest. We don't need anybody to go back here in the holiest of holies and talk to God anymore. You can talk directly to him if you want to. Could you imagine those rascals in the temple? Nobody wanted to see them coming. And if you do this Christianity thing right, nobody wants to see you coming either. Amen? The sinners don't want to see you coming, and the religious people don't want to see you coming. They're like, oh no, here comes this Jesus freak. I know when I come up, I kind of tell myself, maybe they're not watching, but when I first came up in a Baptist church, I remember when Toby Mac first came out with that song, Jesus Freak, and I remember the first pastor that heard it. He told his daughter, turn that off. That's a bunch of garbage. That's straight out of the devil. And I was like, has he ever listened to the words of that song? But that was, man, that was a hard pill to swallow. It's still, man, there's times here where we're like, we got to explain ourselves 57 times before we can sing it. Am I right? Better make sure this is Jesus Freak by Toby Mac. He went to seminary. I'm just being for real, right? Hey, sometimes when God does something new and it's still God, it's hard for us to swallow, ain't it? Amen. It's hard for us to change because that's the way we've always done it. I'm always amazed when we go somewhere, like when they're playing like a lot of new modern music, how all of a sudden I look around and some of the people I never thought would kind of like it are really liking it. I'm like, oh, I just thought they were all like not liking that. And they're just like, that's good. No, I'm sorry. I got it. That was a total sidebar. Just erase that. Some people just started clicking their phone off, just like click, click, get that off. I can't turn him off fast enough. There's nothing wrong with hymnal worship. There's nothing wrong with old hymnal music. There's nothing wrong with new music that glorifies Jesus. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with either one of them. Amen? Oh, we saved it. Saved the day. All right, let's go. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of the temple. I think we've progressed in churches and ministries now. We got smart. We took down the gates and we put up walls. Thank God. We took down the gates, because the problem with gates are is you can see through them. We like to put up walls now. That way nobody can see in what we're doing, right? Because you know what happens is, if somebody can see in who doesn't have what you have, they'll want that. And sometimes, if they get converted, they'll be more appreciative, more on fire, and have more desire than the ones that are already in. That's why we put up walls sometimes, because what we'd want to do is we want to put up a wall. That way we don't have to compare ourselves, and we can just keep settling and settling and settling to the point where we're just coming through, and we're sitting down, and we expect, man, we just got to get through this like, this hour of service, and if somebody ever came in, it was on fire. It kind of make us uncomfortable and make us wonder, why are they so excited? They need to calm down, right? This guy, he was looking through the gate all the time. I don't know how he was always thinking, but he was looking through that gate going, man, if I ever get up, well, if I ever get in there, I'm going to show them something. I wish, you know, every time he'd say, alms, somebody would lay him at the gate. You know what the name of the gate was? Beautiful. The gates don't look beautiful when they got crippled people laying in front of them. Yeah. I kind of typically go like this religion, you know, like we go real fast. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever tried to avoid somebody that wanted something from you? That's how I do it. God's good at that too. He'll wear you out. He'll make you turn around and go back. You ever had to go back, help somebody out? When you tried to avoid them, like you avoided them, you're like, and God say, yeah, I seen that. Go back. All right, stop. But what's this? He's laying outside the gate, right? There's a certain man laid outside the gate called Beautiful, is outside the temple, and who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple and ask alms of them, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Man, he was expecting some cash, right? He was expecting some money. He's expecting something. I don't care how people come in here. I don't care what they're looking for. I don't care who they're looking for, as long as they come in here and they're looking for it. Amen? If you wonder what kind of church I want a church that comes in here looking for everything but finds Jesus. They come in here, man, so I don't think they got good intentions. They don't, but Jesus does. Well, what if they ruin something? What if they take and waste something? What if they don't do the right thing with it? But go back and look at yourself and find out whether you did the right thing with everything that was given to you in the blessing. Or do you steal? I can go back to my mom, but I wasted a lot of good blessings when I was lost, and I've wasted a lot of blessings when I've been saved. I've been blessed beyond measure. Sitting there talking about how blessed I am, and God saying, hey, will you... Can you do something else with it other than be blessed with it? Not this time. Amen. God, wish I'm just going to be real from now on. If y'all, I'll just tell you exactly how it is on this stuff, because that's the way it is. He was wanting something. And you know what? We better have something in the world. I love it when I see people come in here and they're skeptical. They're like, what's this all about? Most of them been hurt in church, by the way. Most of them been run off by religion. And somehow God just pulls them in here, and they come in here reluctantly, but they're like, all right, I'm going to, and it's almost like, bless me, you're never going to get me back to trusting nobody. And I love God just pulling, you know what I mean, just pulling apart all that stuff, man. You know, just start breaking them down, and they're like, wait a minute, I can almost feel like that thing, you know. Y'all remember? I hope y'all get where I'm at. Man, I remember the first times God was dealing with my heart. When I'd go to church, it wasn't about the preacher, the music, the people. I was like, oh God, who's that? who's that? Y'all gotta understand, I was the worst kid in my group. But when I got around the God thing, it would scare me because I'd be like, who is that? Because he's trying to pull something out of me that I didn't even know was in me. I mean, I would stand up in church with my friends and I would say stuff like, man, God's good. And they're all like, what? I couldn't help myself. Who is that? Right? So what happens is there's that real Jesus, there's that real God, but they've been hurt or they've been mad at the church or whatever the thing happened, right? But when they get around, they're like, oh God, there he is. I hope y'all get that. I love that feel. I love when you get past all the other stuff in church and get to Jesus. We need to get back to seeking Jesus more. And we might lose a little bit of control, and we're going to lose a little bit of our reputation. God, I hope so. Right? We'll lose a little bit of a reputation because they'll say, them people, they just Jesus freaks. They just holy rollers. God, I want to be with Jesus. I don't really care about what everybody else thinks. Amen? But anyway, God, let me. And he gave heed. Let me see. He looked in. Oh, here it is. Verse 7. He took him by the right hand. Is that right? No, look, verse 6. Then Peter, I love Peter. He's cool, right? He turns into Jesus, if you didn't notice. He's not Jesus. I'm just saying he turns into like Jesus. He talks like Jesus now. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but as such as I have, I give in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. They didn't have no money, but they had Jesus. Some churches got money, we ain't got no Jesus. They can kind of help you make the gate comfortable, but they can't give you no power to get up out of the gate, right? He said, we don't have no gold, but as much, you know, we do have the name of Jesus, and in his name, stand up and walk. God, this is so fun, man. I wonder if he looked at me, you got anything? God, Sarah, you stay right here. Hey, John, you got five on you? No. Judas took my last 20. Right? No, I ain't got nothing. You got? No, I ain't got anything. Hey, man, we got any money? And again, I was like, disappointed, right? Man, what kind of church people can come to church without no money, right? My, you know what? We got something better. We got Jesus. Who? We got Jesus. In his name, stand up and walk, right? Get up. Get up off the gate, right? I love this. Get up off the gate. And he took him, verse 7, he says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I mean, no rehab, no nothing. This is Jesus stuff. He just gives him the right hand to get up, right? Hey, come on, buddy. I wonder what he was thinking when he put his hand out. Like, what are you talking about, right? Somebody brings me out and lays me down here. This ain't like I'm on. And he get, and as he's getting up, like, wait a minute. I don't even remember the last time I stood up. I remember when I got up. I ain't never stood up on my own, right? So he's doing something. I love this. He's doing something he's never done before. Let me find my notes. Don't you laugh at me, Chris. I heard that. So he raised him up, and he stood. Watch this right here. And he walked, and he entered with them in the temple, and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. He did about five things right here. Let's look at them. He did about five things. He stood for the first time. Remember the first time you stood for Christ? You didn't fall. You didn't waver. You didn't run. You didn't disappear. You stood for Christ. Whether people hated you or loved you, just like, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I ain't going to try to hide it. I ain't going to try to run from it. I ain't ashamed of it. I ain't ashamed of him, so therefore he's not going to be ashamed of me. So that's a big thing you need to understand, because Jesus says that. If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Look, you might want to write this one down right here. You can't afford that, and I can't either. That breaks my heart. So, you know, you ever get to that place where you're like, I don't know if I should be bringing Jesus up right here. You better start thinking, wait a minute, I don't know if, what if, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be bringing Kevin up right now. When you most need it. He's your advocate. Well, I don't want to bring Jesus up right now because this is inconvenient and I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't want to hit nobody over the head with Jesus. Whatever excuse you come up with, we say. But when we really need Jesus on our behalf, what if he says, you know, I just don't know if this is the time I want to bring it up? It's hard on the other, it's hard when you flip it, ain't it? Ain't you glad he's Jesus and you're not? Amen. I'm glad of that. So the first time he stood. Next thing you know, he walked. Man, I love a good walk for Christ. I'm glad I put it in there like that, and I'm glad I preach it this way. I don't care how good you run. I don't care how you shout. We put it there first. Get you a walk first. Amen? Be the same Christian you were on Monday as you were on Sunday. And definitely be the same Christian you are on Sunday that you were Saturday. I don't have to go into detail on that, do I? Because there's a lot of people who are different on Friday and Saturday than they are Sunday. They are totally different on Saturday. Totally different environment. Totally different words. Totally different actions. Totally different friends. Totally different places. Coming to church, totally different. You ain't fooling anybody, and you're not fooling God. Get a walk. Get a walk. And I hate to tell you this, the best walk early on is a walk away. Amen, preacher. That's pretty good preaching. That was. I had to learn to walk away before I could walk real good. I had about 15 or 20 friends I hung out with all the time. I said, I'm going to go do this. God said, no, you're not. You're going to walk 180 degrees in the other direction because they'll pull you down before you pull them up because they know exactly, amen, they know exactly what you do. They know exactly how to do it. And praise God, God can work. He can work it out while you're walking it out. Man, that would be a good bumper sticker. Golly, y'all, this is just going to be chock full of good stuff. I might go back and get the tape myself. Sorry I said that. He walked. He entered, right? He entered. He went into a new place, a place that he had never been before. Amen? New areas that he had never been before. Praise God. There was lots of new places when I got with Jesus. I went to a church in the town that I used to party in. I was like, I didn't even know this existed. I didn't even know this part of town existed. Wow, this is really not far from some other places, Chris. Get it? I didn't have to throw it in there because I was young in the faith. I was like, this is right, no stone, whatever it was. Sorry, Chris, you mean you get that, don't we? Maybe two other people in here? Hypocrites. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. That part didn't count. He walked, he entered, he leaped. This guy couldn't even walk a few minutes ago. And he's leaping. This will embarrass a lot. You know, we do this, you know, like some people get, you'll see it. And if you've been in church a while, some new people, they do stuff because they don't know how to act yet in church. What are they leaping for? Well, if you wouldn't walk an hour ago, 10 minutes ago, if you wouldn't be able to walk, you're going to do it a little bit. Chris, come on, man. This is good stuff right here. Y'all, I don't care if anybody else gets this, just me and you tonight. Watch this right here. He's sitting there going, hey, you know, I walked in here from. Everybody, what did he just do? Don't he know what kind of church this is? He just realized, wait a minute, you know what? If I can stand up and I could walk, maybe I got a little leap in this baby. You know what I mean? Maybe I can hop a little. Amen? And then what? What? Then once you realize how God's been good to you, then you can't help it, right? The I can't help it thing happens. Hallelujah! Look, you need to calm down. I was the guy out there next to the gate. Now I'm in here. I'm leaving. Yeah. Woo! Yeah! Yeah! Calm yourself down. I can't, man. I was just out there. I was the guy that laid out on the gate. I wouldn't even have been here. I was the guy that you were throwing chains at. Change. My ride was going to be here at 5. I don't even know if I'm going to need that ride. Whew. Are y'all getting it? Everything's changing for me. Watch this right here. Let's go a little bit further. Watch this. And all the people, verse 9. I've already read it, but I'm going to do it again because there's another point there. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. I think this was the point. Yes, it is. It's a point number 3. And it says, he was seen doing something he had never done before. And I put a question, have you ever been seen doing some stuff that you'd never done before? Amen? That's big, ain't it? Because somebody didn't correlate you with leaping and praising and being up in the temple, up in the house of God, or up in the church. Up in the church. Sorry. I don't care. I like it. Up in the church, right? They didn't associate you. You were out at the gate, right? You were lame, broken, busted. But now you're in the church. And they're seeing you, right? It's good to be seen in a different environment doing different things by people that didn't ever associate that with you. Because guess what happens next? And that leads into, how'd you get here? Huh? How'd you get here? See, you think it's a hard thing to share Jesus and share your testimony. All you got to do is wait for somebody who's seen you in your other condition, in your new condition, and all you got to say is, oh, glad you asked. Glad you asked. There's no way I'd be standing around here without Jesus. There's no reason I'd be shouting without Jesus. No reason I'd be attending without Jesus. I encountered Christ, and now therefore I'm here in a different place. I love this. Amen. Let's go a little bit further. I'll try to get as done as I can get, as fast as I can get there. And they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened to him. What's this? I started thinking about it this way. God takes you from a taker. Oh, this is good. Chris, this is good. Watch this. I get carried away when I'm preaching sometimes, but I like this. God takes you from being a taker to a giver. Right? Ain't that cool? He was a taker. Give, 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 right? To a giver, amen? I just thought it was neat that God comes along in my life. I remember everything prior to this was, everything prior to salvation was a me thing. It was, the star of the show was me. It was all about me. What can I get? Who can I get it from? You owe me. I'm the victim. I'm the person, right? I need... And God gives you, man, all of a sudden he just turns it full. How can I help? What can I do? Can I be a part of? Amen? What can I give in? Can I be a part of? What can I give away? Amen? It's an amazing feeling to do that. Amen? And I used to hear that, boy, I mean, it's better to give than receive. I was like, you ain't never got nothing. I'm just being honest. But my gosh, I could tell you stories. Now, I'd like to tell you one, but I can't. It's too fresh. It's about, 8 years old, maybe 10 years old. It's too fresh, so I have to wait 5 more years when the stuff wears off of it. But, man, it's good to give to people and know that you give for the right, and nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. I'm talking about stuff that you go, this is crazy. This is stupid. You know what I mean? And God has to really do that because that's not in my nature too. But it's like, you're like, golly, this is big, Lord. This is, I mean, you start kind of running the list in your head. We could do this. We could do. Hey, I'm 47 now. It's kind of like this. Well, we could really do something at the house for this. You know, that's a set of new stairs. Oh, gosh. That's some stain, you know. Oh, golly, y'all. Sorry. But man, God, to somebody else, you look at them and it's life. You look to them and they're like, man, I'm going to eat this week. You're like, oh, I was thinking about, you know, betterment of things I have already or something I already got a bunch of. I was going to get something else. And you're talking about, man, I'm going to be able to pay my electric bill now. Awesome. You don't know, man, I got laid off. This is the only $100 I got. Oh, well, that's cool. You understand what I'm saying? You go from a taker to a giver. And it's sweet, giving of your time, giving of your love, giving of your mercy, giving of your money, giving of everything. I mean, you're just a giving person. I mean, it's not about always what you're going to receive from the church and the church people and all that. It's really, really cool. I wrote this in verse, the last point I wanted to make is, there is a void at the gate, but a position in the kingdom was filled. Amen? There was a void at the gate. The void, there's a void in your old, who you were, is your old life, is a void. When you left, I hate to tell you this way, it probably got filled up pretty quick. I mean, somebody probably just ran right into your position. Do y'all remember when you're studying, you read the Bible about blind Bartimaeus, right? He was on the street where all the beggars were strode out, right? In Matthew, there's two, because if there's two, there can be one. He was just louder and talked more. So Matthew recorded him like he was taking taxes. So he said, there's two people here. The one's doing all the talking, but there's another guy with him. I taxed them both. Right? Okay. So everybody was lined out there, and he had this cloak on that what the cloak, they say, would have said was he was able to be out there begging, right? He was a blind man, so he had a different kind of robe, and it said, as I can sit out here and beg, because this is kind of like my license to be here. It's like I got my little spot, my little setup, and that's along. You got the deaf people and the lame people and all them, and he's out there with them. But the funny thing about this, when blind Bartimaeus started to come to Jesus prior to him being healed, he took off the cloak and left it laying there, right? He said he took it off and he came to Jesus. You can read it; it's in there. I promise. Mark chapter 5, I think it is. Mark chapter 10. He takes off the outer cloak. His identity as a beggar. He takes it off and comes to Jesus, and Jesus hadn't even touched him yet. Matter of fact, he didn't even ask him what he wants yet. That's a whole other message. What do you want? Some of them, we go to Jesus and we tell him we want something, but do we really want that? Right? But he gets to Jesus and he goes, I want to see. I want my sight. I want to be able to see again. He goes, okay, be it so, right? He left his identity back there. His old identity, I guarantee you somebody went, man, maybe somebody wasn't totally blind, maybe just like, you know, partially blind, or like me, can't see without reading glasses, right? We were talking about that before church. He put it on, sit right down, took his spot, start begging, you know what I'm saying? If he'd have been smart, he'd walked right behind him, went and got in with Jesus, right? But a lot of times people would like to take your position of your old life instead of taking the one of your new life. Amen? I remember I witnessed to a guy when I first got into ministry. The first song you sung tonight, they sung it at Providence like every single service. The reason I was singing is because, dude, I used to hear that song every Wednesday and every Sunday. I mean, high and lifted up. I was like, man, I can do this in my sleep. I mean, that's my jam. That was every Sunday and every Wednesday. That men's choir wore that song out. I was like, high and lifted up. I could do that song. But I remember this guy's from Nashville. His name was Ronnie. Now, you're talking about a singer. Oh, my gosh. One Sunday, he goes, I'm going to sing. Is that all right? And his mouth, he's bigger in this room, right? But he said he had sold 1 million copies of a CD. He was a street musician and different things like that. He said, I walked down the street. In this pocket, I would have a pistol and probably $1,000 worth of dope. In this pocket, I would have $4,000 or $5,000 worth of cash. And in my back pocket or in my car, I would have 5 or 6 CDs that I would sell for $20 a pop, right? And he said, I'd walk down the street and tears running down my face because I knew that Jesus was better than all the stuff that I was doing, but I couldn't ever surrender to him. But everybody wanted to be me, and all I wanted to do is get out of it. But I didn't know how to get out. Amen? He said, but the moment I came to Jesus and surrendered, and I came down here to Dalton, he said, I looked back, and some of the people that I'd been battling with and fussing with over the years took my spot right away. He said, they got everything that I used to have, and I got Jesus. Ain't that amazing how people would think that they want what you got, but they don't even realize you're miserable. There's some people in my life, I've looked at them and I thought, man, I wish I could have what they have. But then, praise God, when I found out and I got Jesus, I found out that's the most miserable person on the face of the planet. We've rode by houses and rode by cars and rode by things and looked at them and went, man, I bet it's great to be them. But if you walked in there, the most miserable people in the world live there. And then sometimes we ride by some of the most poverty-stricken places in the world. You think, man, it must be awful to live here. But there's a couple in there and some kids that will hold hands and thank God over a meal that was provided by somebody else and not knowing where their next meal is going to come from or how the power is going to get paid or if the house is even going to stay together. And they'll say, God's good. I love you, babe. I love you too. You're a good man. Man, I love our kids. Amen? Ain't that amazing how that works? But I love how God will take you out of the place is all of your identity, all of who you are, and all of a sudden there'll be a void there, but there won't be a void in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Man, I'm glad that God took me from the gate and put me in the kingdom. Amen. Are you glad that he took you out of your old position and put you in the kingdom? Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus now. Amen. You're as much a resident of heaven as you are this earth now if you're born again. Ain't that amazing? I mean, that's pretty cool. I remember before I got saved what my future looked like. Now I don't even have to worry about what my future looks like because my future is wrapped up in the resurrection, which is Christ. Let's all stand.